Welcome to Let's Talk. You're listening to Dr. Batts, and I'm here in the studio with a young woman that has me excited. We're here with Jahaira Aviles. And I usually do this long, beautiful introduction that I work on, but I'm going to use your words because they're so profound. You said, I am a woman, I am a warrior, I am a queen, and most importantly, a mother, a proud, proud mother of three. And Jahaira, from what I know of you, and I've known you for some time, I agree. So there's no more that I can add. Welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
I cannot express the excitement that I feel. I'm also going to state that I am the first person he's ever made hot tea for, so I am currently enjoying that as well.
How'd I do?
Oh, my goodness. Amazing. There you Perfect. Go. Thank you very much.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. So we've known each other over 10 years, and I always remember the first time we met. Do you remember how we met?
Mm-hmm.
We were at a diner on Hamilton around a parent. There was this huge parenting network that we were putting together, and it started with about three people and grew to over 300 people.
Yes.
And you sat next to me, and you interrogated me. Like,
I did.
Are you the real deal? And I learned you were a revolutionary because you talked about Abu Mahmoud Jamal. Did I
yes.
say his name? And all of the fallen soldiers and political prisoners. And it was like, whoa. And you stand about 5 foot. So it was like this warrior.
Little 5 foot two. That don't take away my little 2 inches.
That's
there.
Right there. I'm 5'6" and a quarter. We want to keep all we have, right?
That's right.
But tell the people about you. I've had the pleasure of knowing you for a decade. So I know when you say you're a warrior and you're a queen. I know all that is true.
Thank you.
There's no more I need to add.
Thank you.
But who are you? Let's start at the beginning. Who is Jahaira?
Okay. I'm an individual who has not had a very easy life.
Mm.
By far.
Mm-hmm.
I am extremely grateful for certain individuals who were always prominently present in my life. And I speak specifically of my aunt Nancy and my uncle Terry Dodona.
You start the interview by saying the names of the shoulders you stand on. That's
yes,
beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You must all the time.
That's right.
Thank you for that. A little something just real quick to pass on that a lot of people may not know about me is from the age of 7 to 14, I would go out with my aunt and my uncle, Nancy and Terry. They were game owners for fairs,
mm-hmm.
to the fair business. And I would go out with them every summer, and that is how I would earn my school clothes, you know, like
okay.
money for my school clothes and things like that.
Like traveling?
Yes.
Okay.
I learned so much. I seen so much. I learned so much of different individuals. And I am grateful for even though the fact that it is something that I had to do to be able to survive
mm-hmm.
at that
mm-hmm.
point in time from the age of 7 to 14, without putting the extra stress and strain on my mother. It's something I just truly enjoyed. I learned, you know, and I seen, and I wouldn't be who I am if it weren't for those moments and those times.
What do you remember most in terms of a specific incident or experience about those times? I mean, because most of our listeners have not traveled with
mm-hmm.
fairs, right? Like,
well, yeah. I talk about this one a lot, and it's, I think it just goes to show where the mindset of our youth can be at certain times.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, I was working. I usually never worked in the tent games. It was always in the trailer with my aunt. However, this one for, I don't know if I was relieving someone for lunch or whatever, but I was in the tent game. And the prizes for that game were these huge balls, you know,
okay.
little plastic, huge plastic balls. I had a group of maybe four individuals like us, black and brown,
mm-hmm.
who had come and tried to keep me active, in conversation in the front of the counter.
I think I know where this is going.
Meanwhile, there's two of them that are trying to get through the back.
That's right.
To get, you know, one or two balls. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, come on. And we were in Buffalo, New York, of all places. So, you know, I'm like, come on, man. This isn't what we do. Get the hell out of
that's
there.
Right. That's
like,
right.
You know, like, that's not what we do. But, yeah, no, that is probably one of the funniest. And also just stuck out in my mind for very specific reasons that I did not know were reasons that were so prominent in my later life.
Okay. Your awareness, your hypervigilance.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So see what you just did. You used two stories. One, you having to work at a young age, as well as these youth. And you said it speaks to the mind of our youth, but you have a way of looking at circumstances and understanding the systemic and root issues behind them. You didn't blame the individuals. You know, you talked about systems made it so that you had to work to help your mother. Systems made it so that these youth wanted to sneak and get a couple extra balls, right? Like, let's talk about the systems you've engaged in your life and what has made you want to disrupt them the way in which you do, because I think of you as a disruptor.
Okay. I hope I don't cry through any of this because it's honestly straight from the heart.
You're the first person I'm 18, you may be the first person I cry with on this show, too.
Okay. I had to drop out of high school in the 10th grade. I remember my school counselor had made an appointment for my mother and I to come in. Mm-hmm. My mother has, it's six of us in total.
Okay.
Two are younger than I am. Well, three, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. No, four. Oh my goodness, how dare I? I'm the second oldest. Four.
And you look like the baby of the bunch.
Yeah, right. Thank you. But this one was specifically with the second youngest, you know, the reasons why. I was called into the office with my mother, and I'm not going to state the name of the guidance counselor. Mm-hmm. However, I went to Deriff. I would have been the graduating
shout
class.
Shout out to, what is it, the Huskies, huh? Mm-hmm. Shout out to Deriff.
100% along with my babies.
So we have folks from all over the world that listen to this, and they don't know the rivalries between Allen High School and Deriff High School.
No, they don't. They don't. Yeah. No, and I'm grateful that my babies attend Deriff as well. Mm-hmm. However, he had made an appointment with my mother and I. And in this conversation, I'll call it, he stated that I'm a great student, that I do show and perform as I should. I was a gifted student up until middle school because that's when things really started getting tough for me in terms of real life and having to be real and taking care of myself and other things in life at that time. However, like I said, at that point in time, I was taking care of I was helping my mother take care of my sister because there was just no other way around it. It's something that had to be done.
You had to step up.
So I did miss a lot of days. And I'll say that when he called me into the office, he had stated the GED program.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I really wanted to see myself walk across that stage, but okay, you know, if you think this is something that, and he stated, yes, you know, you're not available to be present in school, so this is something that will work better for you. Okay, we agreed to that. I disenrolled from school. And I was thinking, as it should be, and as I and many other individuals ensure now that it is, I was thinking that he was going to help me get into this GED program, this GED program that I, at that time, honestly had no clue what it was.
So he presented an alternative. You disenrolled from school and you were just left on your own.
Absolutely. And there is no way that him as the counselor and individual that he was, that he couldn't see the absolute need and scream for help.
That's right.
You know.
And he knew you had the potential.
Absolutely.
That's right.
He failed. As I stated, I won't say his name.
So you fell between the cracks.
Yes. I did not know how to do that.
Yeah.
And it was a few years until I did do that.
Went back and got your GED.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the GED program. I have a GED, right? Like there are a lot of us that's right.
High five, yes.
There are a lot of us that wouldn't be here today and wouldn't have the influence and impact in our communities without that option.
Mm-hmm.
And people try to shame you sometimes for having a GED. And it's like, no.
Nope.
Baby, get what you get and keep going.
That's it.
That's right.
And
so fast forward, you got your GED on your own. The system failed you. And is that where that desire and that fire comes from?
It comes from, to be 100% with you.
Yeah, always.
It comes from my father abandoning us.
Okay.
It comes from all of that, which I just stated.
Yeah.
It comes from having to survive as a child and teenager versus being able to live. Like I and their father provide for ours.
That's right. So you've taken your tragedies or stressors and said, it stops here.
Those are the options we have. That or we make it our nightmares and become part of that, you know, so.
That's right. So we're going to take a quick break, right? But what we're going to talk about when we come back is you gave us some of the backstory. You're very layered. There's a lot more to it. And I think you left us with an understatement, right? Because you talked about like that motivates you to make sure yours are okay. But no, you're making sure tens of thousands of other children are okay while we're at it too.
Right? Actually, before we take off, mm-hmm. When people ask me to introduce myself, I introduce myself as Jahaira Avilés, you know, obviously, whatever. But I always say I'm just a mom. And those who know me as yourself
mm-hmm.
and others know exactly what that means.
That's right.
Those who don't know me think, okay, well, she's just a mom. But no, I'm a mom to my kids, your kids, and everybody else's kids.
And we thank you. And we appreciate that. And we need you.
Thank you. It's my honor.
You are listening to Dr. Batts and Let's Talk. We're here with Jahaira Avilés, and we will be right back.
WDIY has been broadcasting in the Lehigh Valley and beyond for 30 years, providing news.
These planes were hijacked.
The Bethlehem Steel Corporation will end its steelmaking production in Bethlehem.
We hope that you enjoyed hearing from the Dalai Lama.
Local public affairs.
As I say, it's a race of interest.
What we're experiencing today will later on be studied.
And music.
My name is Janice Ian.
Our guest, Lake Street Dive.
In a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Petey Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary.
WDIY, since 1995.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Batts, and you're listening to Let's Talk. I am in the studio with Jahaira Avilés, mom.
Hola.
Mom.
Just a mom.
Just a mom. Just a mom. It's funny because my wife, Katara, and I were talking this morning about the layered people that I interview, and she said that. She said, one day you just need to interview just a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am. I'm going to tell her, Jahaira is just a mom. So you're a mother to many. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Okay, I'm going to start real quick with how. I'm a mother of three, 18, 16, 14. My oldest is Asia Lynn. She graduated last year, magna cum laude,
hey.
The LTRI-C program.
Shout out to LTRI-C, that's where I went to.
Yes.
That's where I started.
Yes, yes. And she graduated fourth in class in Dura.
I just want to say El Tri-State is a community college. So I'm saying shout out to the community college system.
Absolutely.
GED's community college system offers opportunities for youth in our community.
Absolutely. And the one day, she was in kindergarten, and she comes home. I pick her up from school. I'm going through her bag, and I see a Student of the Month award.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? Why wasn't I there? Mm. Why wasn't I not informed of this? So I immediately got on the phone and, you know, spoke with the principal. And I questioned him, you know, just like that. Like, why was I not there? Why was I not invited?
That's right.
This is a moment. This is a grand moment for my child. And I should have been present. And his response to me was, well, we don't have the space. And one thing about me is...
We don't have the space, huh?
Yes, exactly.
For a mother to be present to celebrate with their child.
Mm-hmm, 100%. When I don't know, there's this little, like, chuckle that I do before I get into... seriously.
Before war mode. Right?
Exactly.
Before you turn red.
That's it. Before war mode. And I don't know why, but I chuckled. And I said, no, excuse me, you're speaking to the wrong mother.
That's right.
I said,
you're
going to
learn today.
100%. The truth is that I attended that school as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And any and every single time I got my award, my mother was present. I said, not only my mother, but the parents of every other student who got their awards.
Wow.
I said, so we're not going to use this as an excuse. I said, we have to find a way to rectify this.
There was room back then.
Absolutely.
But there's not enough room now.
Absolutely. And it was an absolute excuse.
That's right. Maybe that's why the outcomes were different back then than they are now, right?
You know it.
Yeah.
You know it. Part of it, yes. So I said, whether it's things need to be moved at the times of these events to make the space for, or whether it needs to be divided into two events to have the space.
So you offered some solutions.
Absolutely. By the end of it all, we became best friends,
you
know, but it was in kindergarten, my oldest daughter.
But that's what you do. I've witnessed it. You don't attack people, you attack systems.
Yes.
So you're able to reconcile, and I mean, you know what I mean? You're able to reconcile and create and center the child.
Yes.
Or the children.
Yes. Because when we get to going against individuals alone, it's only the problem that they create, that they bring to the table.
Mm.
When you go against the system, it's a no. This is a we type of thing.
That's right. That's right.
I'm entrusting you with my child for so many hours. I have an expectation, and I expect it to be respected.
That's right.
100%. I mean, because, again, you are dealing with my child. So that is where I began my advocacy, and it has grown to something absolutely beautiful.
That's right.
But I will tell you that when I need to stand and say something is wrong, you are wrong, or this is not working, I stand and I say it with absolute pride and knowledge as to why or how it's wrong or it is not working.
That's right.
And as you stated, try to provide some sort of resolution, because it is not just for and about my children. It's for and about all of our children.
Right. If it's happening to yours, that's not the only one.
That's it. And what really makes me sad, angry, so many emotions are the ones that fall through the cracks, the ones that are pushed out the door or pushed through those cracks, the ones that individuals do not want to deal with. And those are the ones who need the most help.
That's right.
Those are the ones that might not have dad at home. Those are the ones that, you know, might have parents, you know, abusing, you know, drugs of sorts. Those are the ones that are screaming for help.
And they, and those are the ones that get thrown away by the system.
Yes.
No one, I always say, when I was throwing chairs in third grade, no one ever asked me three critical questions. Are you safe?
Mm-hmm.
How are you really? How can I help? No one ever asked me any of those things.
That you stated that.
Right?
The most important.
The most important. Are you safe? What's going on with you? Mm-hmm. Like, is everything okay? I want to, we have got about 7 minutes left, and I want to spend some time with you talking directly to a couple people. Three people. I want you to talk directly to a 10-year-old little girl that's struggling with some of the things you spoke to that you understand from lived experience and just from being in this world. I want you to talk to her teacher, and I want you to talk to her parents. Can you do that for us? What advice do you have for them? 10-year-old little girl that's struggling, teacher that is seeing her every day, and her parents, who we know are probably struggling also. What message would you have for them?
Number one is we have to be real. We cannot try to state half the truth.
Mm.
There are things we may be embarrassed of.
Mm-hmm.
However, these are things that must be faced. And number one, and most importantly, is that that child be heard. Not silenced, not told what to say, not, you know, maneuvered in any type of way. Is that that child be heard 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else works around that. We have grown so much in terms of where we were when I was in school,
okay,
as to where we are now.
Okay.
So I have a better trust in our system. But I'm saying, my name is Yahaira Aviles, YAHAIRAAVILES. Contact me on Facebook if you need to, and I will walk you through a process. I will hold your hand. I will be there with you. We can get it done together.
Mm. So you are not alone.
Never.
And that's not just a cliche. Call me, Yahaira Aviles.
That's
it. And I will help you. I will hold your hand. That's beautiful.
100%.
That is a parent advocate right there. And what are you saying to the teacher?
To the teacher, if there are issues of you not being able to speak up for certain reasons, because many of our teachers work under certain agreements to where they are not, you know, allowed to speak so freely, reach out.
What do you want the decision makers that impact that little girl's life to know? So we're talking about the policymakers in Harrisburg, in the federal government, you know what I mean? Like the people that are somewhat disconnected. They're not there on the ground with that child. What do you want them to know about the laws they make, the decisions that they make? Is there a message you have for them? Or even the corporate, the CEO that's sitting at home listening to this and has influence in the community. What do you want people to know about the communities that they're disconnected from?
Don't you dare fail our children in any form of way.
Mm.
There is a situation currently in Allen. The elevator has been down. This affects many students, but students who specifically need the elevator. And right now we're waiting on a state permit. Somebody's gonna get a little mad that I just stated that. But it's the facts, it's the truth. And it should absolutely not be.
That's not personal, though.
It has been too long.
Okay.
And it needs to get taken care of.
So you want the folks at the state level to understand disability justice means expediting permits so that children
100%.
Okay.
No excuses allowed.
Make it happen.
That's it. For everyone. no excuses allowed for me, for you, for them, for, you know, whatever it is. If there is an issue, okay, let's work together. Let's work around it. Let's see what we need to do to get it done. That's it. Because it's not about you at the end of the day. It's about these kids.
Now, you bring up a good point, right? Because you said for me, for you, you are someone that will call me and tell me when I need to do better. Mm-hmm. And you will also call me and let me know when I'm doing a great job.
Absolutely.
So there's multiple sides to the way that you approach this thing.
I expect you to do the same with me as you do.
That's right.
That's why we have the great friendship and relationship that we do have.
So they can expect you to let them know when they're doing a great job, as well as, listen, when you step on it, own it.
It's been over 14 years. They know that.
That's right.
They get the hugs. And when those phone calls need to be made where it's, I need to have a serious conversation with you, they are made and listened to. I will always give the Allentown School District that. Since, I would say probably over the last 7 years or so, we have grown. We still have a lot of work to do. But we have grown in terms of understanding when they are wrong. They have, you know, taken responsibility in understanding when they are wrong. And they have also taken time to listen to individuals like me,
That's
who
beautiful.
I am just a mom.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
And
but you feel like you have voice.
Follow through. Oh, I know I have a voice, because if they don't hear me when I am talking to them, they will hear me when I am yelling.
That's beautiful. I have, you know, I have a 2-year-old, little Hassan, and I say to him, you don't have to yell to be heard. And as he gets older, I'll say to him, but sometimes you have to yell
That's
to be
right.
heard.
Right? That's right.
But we don't want you to have to, you don't have to yell. No. Just talk to me, baby.
Just talk.
But sometimes when you get older, you need to understand, sometimes you got to yell to be heard. All right, we're getting ready to close out. I want to thank you for your advocacy. I want to thank you for all the ways in which you make sure your voice and the voices of our children are heard. You use social media as a tool for advocacy versus vanity, which all too often we see. You use this idea of just a mom. I think you need to start a business called Just a Mom. Or, you know, you have to do it before this airs, because someone will steal still the idea. But in closing, what do you want to share with us?
I am absolutely honored to be here. Thank you for having me. This hugs my soul. Mm. I want our children first and foremost, and our parents and families to know and understand that you are not alone. If you feel stuck for any reason or any type of way, feel free to reach out to me.
That's beautiful.
We can do it privately, anonymously. However, I'm here. I'm just a mom for all of our babies.
Thank you, Jahida, for being just a mom.
Thank you.
This is Dr. Batch. You're listening to Let's Talk. Thank you for listening. And from me to you, and from Jahida Aviles to you, you are not alone.
Never.